Welcome to Cat the Baker and Chef KB. I have this strong urge to record. And when I look back on today, there's a sequence of events that happened that led me to this moment, obviously. Like every person's moments that create a day. But today is not just any day. Today is November 13th, which would be my mom's birthday. She passed 3 years ago now. And it's not like I woke up thinking about that. You know, like a couple days ago, I realized, oh, it's going to be her birthday soon. And then today I woke up. I went to bed late because I did the farmer's market yesterday, which was very successful. I'm getting a lot of regulars. I even have followers that come every week. And they say I have the best donuts around. They say they're different and delicious. And they pass on to others about my donuts. And I have several people that do the same thing, which is so amazing. But I think right now I'm just emotional about everything, you know, like in this very moment. I just had this urge I had to record now. And I don't know if that's the best thing because I don't want to be like crying the whole episode. But I also sometimes feel when I have something I want to record about, I wait sometimes a bit too long. And then that moment passes where I feel like, why am I even talking about this? You know, it's not really important as when it first happens for whatever it might be. You know, but sometimes I have these moments of just wisdom and I want to share them. And then I'm like, oh, I have to record this. I have to record this moment. But then the day happens and it passes. And then I'm like, wait, what was that moment? You know? So, because sometimes I feel like what I have to say, like, why is that important? You know, like, why is it important for you to listen to this podcast? I mean, I guess it's not, but we all have something to say. And I feel like I've experienced a lot of things to possibly just be able to talk about and give you something to feel better about, you know, because shit happens all the time. And we just need something to make it through. And I don't know why I want to record. I just feel like it's important to honor my mom and just honor her life. You know, yes, sometimes it was complicated between us, but most of the time we helped each other, you know, in shitty times and in good times. And sometimes she would say things that were hurtful and I would do the same. And it was like any mother-daughter relationship, I guess, you know, and maybe she depended on me more than I would like to admit at moments, you know, that I felt like I couldn't leave her or I couldn't move forward. But sometimes I look back on those moments and I think, at least I got to spend that time with her. You know, even if sometimes it was fucked up because it was like codependency, you know, but we talked so much about important things too, and just to be there for each other. So I woke up today not thinking about her birthday, but I had this dream last night and I don't remember why, but I was crying. I was crying like super heavily in my dream. And I woke up just remembering that I was crying a lot. I spoke to my husband, who's in Brazil. That's on my next episode. So I recorded this episode and I wanted to edit it and have that come up next. But I feel like I'm going to put this on instead and wait for the other one So my husband's in Brazil. He's visiting his family for 2 weeks. So we talked this morning, and all I said is, like, I remember that I was crying, you know? And then he tells me that a really good friend of his, like one of his best friends in Brazil, called him early this morning because they're 5 hours ahead. And he said that his mother died. And she didn't just die, she hung herself. Apparently, you know, and I don't know this person, I don't know the family, but she had money. You know, the family had everything they needed, you know, at least money-wise, and that wasn't the issue. But she had depression, and she hung herself, and she died. And her son discovered her, and he tried to resuscitate her, and he couldn't. And when he told me that, immediately, I flashed back to when my brother called me. I think it was like 3 a.m. in 2021. I was in New York sleeping, and the phone woke me up, and he told me that mom had died. And I'm like, what? Like, I immediately woke up. You know, you're in deep sleep, you hear this, and all of a sudden, all this adrenaline. I was just overcome with this wailing. And immediately, I think of not having seen her, you know, since April before that. This was November. I think of maybe she had called me and I disregarded her call because I was at work or doing something else. You know, when you think of all the things that maybe you could have done differently. You know what I think? Well, what if I had just taken that phone call? Or what if I had just gone to see her? You know, there's never a good moment, right? Like, you take people for granted. And if only I had taken a few days and maybe just flown to see her, you know? But I didn't know. I didn't know it was at that point. Like, a couple weeks before she passed, she left me a message saying she doesn't feel too good and she's just like super weak and she just needs to sleep a lot. I actually didn't talk to her for probably a couple weeks, you know, and when I did try to call her, she just was not feeling well, you know, and I didn't know that all this meant she was going to die, you know, like, I mean, come to find out, you know, when we went to the house and we went through her things, that's when I found her diary. It wasn't a diary, but her notebook in which she had written that she has tumors. You know, she didn't get them treated because she didn't want to. She didn't want to be at the mercy of doctors, you know, and in some regards, I understand that, you know, because maybe it was curable. You know, maybe it wasn't. But she had been in the situation in her life multiple times where she was at hospitals and sick as a kid and as an adult. You know, she had been in a car accident where she clinically died and she was in a wheelchair. She came back. You know, it was like an unbelievable story. Like, my dad told me that she had died when I was like 7, but she came back. So she was clinically dead, but then all of a sudden she came back, right? Like, that's not normal. She had just been through so much, you know, and the whole recovery process of the car accident in which she died the first time. You know, everything was all so focused in the hospital. And I guess she didn't want to go through that again, which I can understand, you know, because I saw the pains she had. She had a lot of back pain, a lot of everything pain. She couldn't walk properly. And because she could walk properly, she tripped a lot, you know, so that caused her to have other issues. And one thing led to another, you know, which is why when I lived with her, it was never a good time to leave because there was always something else. And there's a lot of guilt. You know, I felt a lot of guilt because I did move to Switzerland and I felt like I had to. I had to because I've thought if I don't leave now, I'll stay forever. You know, and who knows? I mean, obviously, I wouldn't stay forever, but I didn't know that when I left that COVID would happen. And, you know, looking back, I left at exactly the right time because when I went to Switzerland, I had a job. Whereas if I'd stayed here, I would have been out of a job and just a sequence of events, you know, but she didn't want me to go to Switzerland and she didn't support me. It was the first time that I didn't have her support. And it was heartbreaking to me. You know, I felt like something had changed between us. You know, so when my brother told me she had died and I was in New York, it was like, oh my God, like the worst thing has just happened. And I couldn't fly out there right away because I had to give notice at work and all this. And we planned it so that the whole family could be together. And we all hadn't been together in over 11 years, which that is ridiculous. And it's just the smallest things. You live your life, you do, you know, the day to day to make money, to pay the bills. And before you know it, all these years have gone by. Like, for what? So when I went into the house and she wasn't there anymore, it smelled like her. Just the sheets and the house. It wasn't a bad smell. It was just when I hugged her, I smelled that smell, you know, so the whole house had that smell and it was just familiar. And we went through her things and my dad donated a bunch. And it's just like we only had a few days to do all this stuff, you know, and my dad needed help. But it was so overwhelming and so emotional because how could I get rid of all her things? I felt like I wanted to keep everything as if the things would bring her back, you know, but it's like she'd wear this shawl and it's like, if I keep it, I'll just remember her wearing it, you know, and it was comforting. So I tried to keep some things, you know, but at the same time, people came by the house and they wanted to talk to me and every time somebody came, you know, I was crying. Like, people were just trying to be supportive and helpful. At the same time, my family was putting everything in boxes about to donate. And I felt like, no, like, let me look at it first. You know, but I couldn't. Like, I was super tired and didn't have enough energy. And I couldn't be there for everything. You know, and I just felt so helpless. And then the whole pet situation, like she had like 8 cats and a dog, you know, and at the time I was in New York, I couldn't take them. And I felt so guilty because I knew these pets, like they knew me. And here I was giving them to a shelter. I thought I was the worst person and they were looking at me. And I put them in the cage and I drove them to the shelter. And it's like, I can't forgive myself. I still think about them. I hope they continue to have good lives. Like they were separated and I would call the shelter and they'd tell me every time they found a home for them. It was a no-kill shelter. It was like they weren't in cages. They were out. You know, and they found homes very quickly because they were healthy and my mom took care of them. She made freaking fresh meat for them as dinner, you know, and when I lived with her, I had to make it for them. And it was like a full-time job. I gave them even vitamins because she told me I had to give them vitamins. So all the pets were super healthy. They had beautiful coats, you know, and they found homes very quickly. And I knew that because the shelter told me. You know, when I think about the Chiweenie she had, my mom saved her. She was a breed dog and she couldn't walk properly and it was a bad situation and she kept being bred for more Chiweenie puppies. And somehow someone found her and she was taken out of the situation. But the person that had her couldn't take care of her because she was in college. And somehow my mom found out this information, maybe through Whole Foods, because there were always posters up in Whole Foods for pets that needed help. And she took her. And she couldn't walk, and she had all these anxieties, this little Chiweenie. Her name is Mia. And my mom basically brought her back to health. You know, she revived her. She helped her walk again. And she hadn't walked in years because she'd been breeding endlessly to have these puppies. And it was just this horrible situation. And she became the cutest dog, you know, in the sense that she was just always there and licking you. And she had such a big heart, the dog and my mom, you know. And I remember when my dog died, Cassie, Mia came to me, you know, when I was living with my mom, Mia came to me. She came into my arms and I hugged her and she just licked me and she fell asleep with me. You know, and then when my mom passed, I wanted to keep her, but I couldn't because I was working so much and I just didn't feel like it was fair to keep a dog in an apartment all day when she had been the opposite. My mom was always home. Wouldn't that be cruel of me? She found a home with someone who knew her from the vet. So she said, I'd like to take Mia because I knew your mom and I feel like she would have a good home with me. So I stayed in contact with her. And then when I left New York to move to Aspen, I let her know that I was moving to Colorado, you know, and she was in Arizona with Mia. And somehow she blocked me because she was afraid that I was trying to take her away, which I wasn't, but I couldn't communicate that because she blocked me. So I never found out how she was doing ever again. You know, maybe she's passed by now because she was 16 when my mom passed. All I know is when I see pictures of her, of Mia, I just feel this like tremendous amount of guilt. You know, because she meant so much to me. And I want to know, I want to believe that they all found amazing homes, you know, and there were so many pets in one small house that being separated maybe made them better pets, you know, because they got to have another different life. Just because you're not with the same people doesn't mean maybe they weren't happy again. You know, or am I just telling that to myself to feel better? So my husband told me this about his friend, and then he said he canceled his plans for the day to drive out to see him. I did the day. You know, I was off today, and I decided I wanted to see a movie. And this movie had been playing called The Wild Robot over the whole summer, and I've been wanting to see it. You know, but I'm so busy, right? Like if I'm not working, I'm prepping for the farmer's market. If I'm not doing that, I'm doing body pump. Oh, that's what I did today. I was at body pump. And I only slept 6 hours because I went to bed at midnight. I just couldn't sleep early. You know, when I do the farmer's market, I come home, I have to clean everything up. Just like the containers I used and if I have any product left over. But I sold a lot last night and I felt like I had a really good farmer's market event. When I work late, I can't sleep right away. So I went to bed at midnight. I woke up at 6 a.m. just because normally I wake up at like 4:30. So 6 a.m. is like sleeping in. I went to body pump, Like, I brought all my things back to storage from the market at like 8 a.m. And then I drove to Body Pump. And I love this instructor. She is so passionate about what she does. And as she's lifting weights, you know, so Body Pump, if you don't know, even though I've talked about it so many times, it's lifting weights in sync to music. You know, when you use your whole body, so there's all these like 4 to 5 minute sequences of multiple weights and lifting them for different parts of your body. You know, so you do squats, you do like push-ups, and it's very intense, right? So this instructor, I always bring her like some leftovers I have from the market, and she's super sweet. And I just love her class because she motivates me. I'm so tired after the market, but I feel like I have to go. I have to go to this class, you know? So as we were lifting weights, there's this song, and I don't know who sings it, but it's a rap. Okay, so the rap artist is saying, I'm a beast, you know? So she's repeating it, I'm a beast, like as this music is playing. And just the way she said it, because you know, then she goes like off the song, off script, and she says, that's right, you're a beast. You know, you're here every week and you're working to make yourself better and stronger, you know? And it's just so like, it just gets me. Because I am a beast, like in the sense of we're all trying to do something that fulfills us, right? That makes us passionate about what we do. And for me, and I don't mean to be crying, but Body Pump is just such a release in the sense of like all the stress you build up and all these stupid thoughts that go through your head of like you not being enough or not being good enough or smart enough or whatever, you know? Like how many times a day or how many times a week does something happen where you say to yourself, okay, please let this come out good. Please let me do this right. Sometimes I put, well, always, I put this pressure on myself. I just want to do things well. What I do is bake, right? Like I'm a baker. I was a pastry chef. And if something doesn't come out well, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, why isn't this working out? You know, and I put this pressure on myself because most things do come out great, you know? But I'm just trying all these things. And in my head, I'm always like, please let this work out. Please let this go well. You know, and just the things we say to ourselves in our heads all the time, all day. You know, and it's just like, doing Body Pump makes this noise turn off. And yes, my body aches from Body Pump. But it's like this good aching. It's like this, I did something positive for myself, you know? And yes, you can take that to another extreme and get addicted. But I only go like twice a week for Body Pump, right? It's not like I'm going every day. But I just feel this positivity, you know? And in that moment when she's saying I'm a beast, like I feel so strong. You know, and I feel so good. I'm like, fuck yeah, like I'm a beast, you know? And it just gets me so emotional in the class. Like, it made me seem stupid because it's just like this weightlifting class. But to me, it's like saving me and saving my sanity, you know? And I'm not saying I'm going crazy, but sometimes I feel like my business isn't growing fast enough. I mean, how can it? I'm working full time as a cook at a hotel. I'm trying to keep this podcast going and I'm doing this farmer's market. And I just feel like every day there's something that I have to do. And there's this whole checklist in my head, you know? So That was today. And after class, I felt so fucking strong and just amazing, you know, that I decided to get a lottery ticket. You know, if only you would say you're a winner, like every time, because I get it from a machine at a grocery store. And I try and do this every couple weeks, right? I get a $2 lottery ticket. And when I scan it, like 2 weeks later, it'll say not a winner, you know? And I'm like, damn it. That's the opposite of what Body Pump was saying I am, right? I would like it to say you're a winner, you know? So maybe at some point, if only it's like $10 or something. So I get a lottery ticket. I'm like, oh, like I want to see a movie today, you know? But first, you know, and the movie thing's like running in my head. Like, should I do this? But first, as I'm at Body Pump, I'm getting like hungry because I only had a protein shake in the morning. I think, oh my God, I would love some pho, you know, which is the Vietnamese soup. It's like a beef soup. And I Google it, and this place comes up, like Vietnamese pho, I think it's called. And, you know, and okay, that sounds pretty generic. I realize, okay, it's not far from me, so I go there. It was amazing. Like, I order this beef soup, and there's a lot of Vietnamese people eating there. So I'm like, yes, this is a good place, right? Like, whenever you see native people in any type of restaurant other than American, you're like, yes, this is legit, right? So I saw a lot of Vietnamese people and I thought, okay, it's got to be good. And they go by numbers, you know, because the menu has numbers. So I'm like, okay, number 12. I get it literally like 2 minutes later, like the fastest thing ever, because they probably have this huge vat of stock in the back, you know, and you just add the noodles and whatever meat you want. And they give you a plate of the basil and bean sprouts and lime and jalapeno. So it was super fast because that's all they serve is pho. They don't serve any other Vietnamese dishes. It was so good. I ate the whole thing and I just felt like, yes, like today is awesome, right? So then I'm like, okay, I'm going to see a movie. So I see the time is 4:40 because I've been wanting to see this previously, but it's been in the movie theater so long that it's about to leave probably soon, you know, but it's been running so long in the theater that I'm like, okay, it's got to be good, right? Like, movies that don't do well don't stay in the movie theater very long. So I'm like, yes, let me go at 4:40. It's me and another guy in the theater. That's it. And I was engaged the whole movie. It's a family movie. You know, it's a cartoon. And it was so beautiful. It was so amazing. I'm not even kidding. It was about a robot that lands by mistake on an island. But it's an island that basically looks like Aspen. You know, it's in the mountains. It's got woods. It snows there. Basically, the robot deals with nature and whatever else happens on the island. You know, but the robot, Roz, she falls because a bear is wanting to attack the robot. And the robot falls on a bird's nest. As she falls, she kills the mother and some of the unhatched eggs, except for one. And the egg hatches and the chick sees Roz and thinks it's his mother. You know, so the movie is about this bond between mother and child. You know, and I know it sounds ridiculous because it just makes you want to cry, but it was so good. I loved it. And as I'm watching it, I'm like, oh my God. It's like I had to see this today because it's my mother's birthday and I just feel like I need to honor her birthday and just honor that she had her life, you know, and it wasn't perfect and it was pretty shitty at times. But she always stood her ground and she always managed to say the right things, even if she wasn't feeling great, which was a lot of the time. There's a line in the movie where, you know, she makes friends with all these animals. And one of the animals says, you know, because Roz has to leave. And then one of the animals says, what if I just want to tell you things and you're not there? And I freaking lost it. I lost it because so much has happened these last 3 years in my life. And I can't tell her. You know, like so many things. And yes, you know, this is why after her passing, I went to therapy because it just helped me a lot. You know, but when I think about only these short 3 years, you know, I moved from New York to Aspen, and I know that Aspen, I had to go there. Like, I really do feel that. And yes, I applied to the job, but I applied because I applied to everything in that moment. And I forgot that I actually applied to Aspen. And this was the only place, the only hotel that was actually interested in me and that paid well. You know, so I took it. I didn't have to do a tasting or anything. Like, that's how desperate they were. And I got the job. I mean, yes, it took like 3 months to actually have the job. But I knew that when I was in Aspen, you know, and I think I talked about this one time. I was on a hill and I was looking over at the sunset, which is across to one of the mountains. And when I saw that sunset and the mountain and just the way it looked, I knew that I was meant to be there. Like, it was just this profound feeling. And I knew that I feel like my mom sent me there. Like, and maybe it sounds stupid, I don't know, but Aspen was a very special place for me to heal, you know, and that's why I got to be in nature so much. And I took all these hikes and trips to release whatever stress I had in the kitchen and the hotel from all these crazy chefs, yes, but also to just release these thoughts and feelings and everything that was just going on, you know, and my mom was a part of that. And funnily enough, you know, she was this huge John Denver fan, and John Denver loved Aspen, and there's a whole John Denver sanctuary. And I just knew that my mom sent me there. Like, that's how I feel. I wish I could just talk to her. And I do, you know, in some form. Like, sometimes I just say things, but I wish I could just call her and have a conversation, you know. And then I met my husband on a plane when I vacationed in San Diego, and I was flying back to Denver, and he was sitting right next to me, you know. If only I could tell that to my mom. And now I'm married, you know, I married him in Las Vegas, of all places, in this 1 year. Right? I haven't fully been here 1 year yet in San Diego, but this summer has flown by, and I feel like just now maybe things are starting to take shape, you know, and it's taken the past 6 months for that to happen. But if I could tell her, oh my God, I'm starting my own thing. I'm starting my own business. You know, like, that is huge. And I feel like I'm kind of failing at that just because it's not moving fast enough, you know, and that's just my impatience. But my brother visited me last week, you know, and we went to a Day of the Dead festival that was happening in Old Town. And I don't know everything about Day of the Dead, but what I do know is that at midnight, and don't quote me on this, but at midnight, the people that you lost or the person that you lost, You know, they come back and you get to spend some time with them that night. And I was thinking, if only I could see my mom again, what would I do? What would I do with that time? Would I talk? Would I say anything? When you miss someone so much, words are so stupid. Like, yes, communication is important in every relationship, but there's just too much to say. There's too much that in the end, it's almost not important. Like, I just want to hug her and smell her and just like make her laugh or something, you know, like say something stupid and she laughs and we laugh. And just knowing that everything's okay. And then today, watching the movie, it just affected me so deeply. And maybe it's because it is her birthday today and I can't bake her cake or spend it with her, you know, or do something to make her laugh, which I always try to do. Maybe that's what it is. You know, like, I was feeling good today, but as if something wanted to come up, something was lingering. And then I saw this movie and just, I lost it. Like, this one guy in the movie theater is probably like, this is a kid's movie. What the fuck is she crying about? Like, I mean, I was crying privately. I'm more open now talking about it, but it was a really good movie. I really, really want you to see it, called The Wild Robots. It was so moving and so beautiful just to see with your family and maybe people that you miss and you can't see again. I have friends coming tonight and I probably look a mess, you know, but one of these friends is such a good friend. We met another lifetime, like 20 years ago, which to me feels like another lifetime. Probably like 18 years ago, something like that, when I was living in LA, and we've kept in touch, you know, but she'll probably see me and be like, are you okay? Because I was crying in the movie. I go to the bathroom and I look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, what the fuck? And I was wearing leggings with this like dress over it. And this jacket over it. And it just looks like I don't give a crap, you know? And then on top of that, you can tell I was crying. And even the person, like as I was leaving, there's always a person saying goodbye. And I just want to hide my face, you know? And she was like, good. And then she saw that I had cried and she turned around and didn't say anything further. You know, like knowing I wasn't feeling good, she basically went further to ignore me. Which, how weird is that, right? Like, when you know someone needs help or they're in trouble or they're just in pain and we ignore it, you know? I mean, it happens all the time, right? If you see a homeless person or a crazy person that's freaking out, you know, about something. Like, they're not crazy, but they're just losing it, right? We don't know how to respond to that. And most of the time, we ignore it. And today in Body Pump, I forget what this person was doing, but I was going to get my weights in the beginning of class, and this person dropped, like, these risers. We have risers, and on top of that, you put, I forget what it's called, like a step board. And anyway, she dropped the risers. So I said, are you okay? Like, do you need help? And she's like, I just have a really bad knee and it was hurting as I was bending down. I'm like, well, let me set it up for you. People need help all the time. Maybe just a small thing we can do, right? Like, most people don't notice it because we're always on the phone or there's always something else, right? We're in our heads. We're in our own shit, right? To be blunt. For what, right? Like for what? Just to check our email, to be in touch 24/7? Like for what? You know, why can't we be available for someone who needs a door opened or someone who maybe needs a drink of water, right? Like, why can't we help others if they need help? Because in the end, we're all going through the same things one way or another. I know I have a lot of episodes about my mother. That's because she was a huge part of my life. And dying is normal, right? It's a part of life. But everyone goes through it in some way. So what makes me special to talk about it? I guess it doesn't, right? But I guess for me, it's a form of therapy and maybe a way that you can relate. You know, so if you think about someone you've lost, how can you help someone who is in front of you who maybe needs it in some other way? And I think that's important, right? I was listening to this podcast and I've been listening more and more to it just because it's entertaining, because now I'm driving more, right? Like in Aspen, it was such a small town. I barely drove. I just walked everywhere or rode my bike. Now I'm always driving. So I'm listening to podcasts because the radio is too repetitive. It's always playing the same songs. So I'm listening to the podcast and it's called Smartless. You know, three hosts, they're actors. Enjoy listening to it because it makes me laugh. And on the show, they were talking about their kids and how they're being raised with their phones, you know, knowing that the people who developed them, like they knew that they would be addictive, you know, and because of these phones, because we're always on them. And now kids start on these phones when they're what, like 12? I don't know. So because of these phones, there's more anxiety, there's more depression. They were saying, are your kids able to fulfill the time with boredom, right? Like when you have to be in the car and you have to look at the traffic lights changing, you know, when you're standing at a red light, like, what do you do in that time? What do your kids do? Do they pull out their phones? You know, so I thought that was interesting because growing up, I didn't have a cell phone, right? I had the landline at home, but when we were out, we were out. And we had to deal with being bored, right? Like if my mom was busy doing something and I had to wait because she had the car and I had to go home with her, right? What do you do with boredom? And most of the time, it was doing something creative. Creativity comes out of boredom because you want to do something with that time. And usually I would draw. I would think of other projects I would do. When my mom passed, she had this storage, you know, well, not just when she passed, she had it for the last like 15 years in Georgia because she lived there. And then she moved to Arizona, but she kept this storage for the whole time in Georgia. And then my dad was like, I'm not paying for this anymore. So he went to the storage and he emptied out and he took the things that he thought would have the most memories, I guess, right? Which some of that were my art binders. And I look at that and I'm thinking, damn, like I was good, you know? Like I'm not saying my art is freaking amazing, but considering the age I was and when I drew these things, like I was good. You know, but at the time, I was so focused on the pressure and am I good enough? And, you know, all these feelings of doubt. But when I look at it now, I'm like, what was I judging? You know, it's like, maybe I should just give myself a break, right? But through all these moments of boredom, I managed to fill it with creativity. And I had so many art projects. You know, and I was looking at them now, realizing, oh my God, like I filled every single moment and I was creative, you know, and I'm so proud of that, right? But are we losing that touch of creativity because of these phones, you know? Like, when I look at Instagram too much, like, yes, there's a lot of memes and, like, jokes and things like that. And whatever you're into, like cute cats, you know, there's always something that you want to pass on to somebody you care about because it's funny, right? Or amazing food. Like, yes, they can give us more ideas, but I see the side of anxiety, you know, because I always have FOMO when I'm looking at Instagram, because there's all these beautiful places in the world that I haven't traveled and I want to go, you know. But A, you need money, and B, you need time, you know. But I wonder, if I had this phone when I was growing up, would I be different? Would I be less creative? Like, I don't know. But it's interesting to think about that. At the end of the day, just cut yourself some slack. Everybody wants something from you, right? If it's your kids, if it's your parents, if it's your husband. And all you can do is try your best. Maybe it doesn't look like your best to them, right? But you know what? Just be there. Don't judge it. Don't judge yourself. And just be in the moment as much as you can. You know, if you have that instinct to maybe not take the call, if it's your mom calling, maybe just take a moment and take the call. You know, and not to be like morbid, but it could be the last phone call you have with that person. You know, like, I'm not trying to freak you out here, but just go with your gut instinct, you know, because the smallest moment can be the biggest moment for somebody. I don't know if I helped that person today body pump with the risers. Was it memorable to that person? I don't know. You know, that's not why I did it, but hopefully it helped them in some way. We have thousands of moments in one day. How do you choose to spend it? That's all. You know, I'm not trying to guilt you into all of a sudden going into charity or, you know, helping everybody. If that's your calling, great, then do it. You know, but just be aware. That's all. Be aware of where other people are at, their emotional needs. And maybe if you see somebody crying, just say goodbye. You know, I didn't ask for, oh my God, are you okay? Like, no, that's embarrassing. You know, like, but maybe at the movie theater, don't turn the other way, you know, as far as the person working there. Or whatever, if you see some person out in the street that you know is crying, maybe just give them a tissue. I don't know. But just acknowledge people, you know? Acknowledge people, because we're all in it together. We're all in the same boat. And on that note, see the wild robot. I just want to say happy birthday, Mom. And of course, I would say in German. So, which is funny, because happy birthday means herzlichen Glückwunsch zum Geburtstag. Super long, right? So, herzlichen Glückwunsch zum Geburtstag, Mami. Ich habe dich so lieb und ich vermisse dich. Und wenn du jetzt hier wärst, dann würde ich dir einen Kuchen backen. My aunt, my mother's sister, she sent me an email 2 years ago. I sent her a note on Messenger because I was becoming a German citizen. I mean, I am a German citizen, but I was becoming an American citizen and I needed dual citizenship. And I was contacting family members to get their address, you know, and if I could use their address just on the form to become a dual citizen, because it was very complicated. She didn't message me back. And it turns out that 2 days ago, she messaged me and she said, I saw you wrote me 2 years ago. Like, way to drop the ball on that, you know? But she wrote me this email just saying that she had a complicated relationship with my mom. I guess in some way we all did. If there's anything I need, you know, to email her and maybe to call her, and that we could talk sometime. You know, and it's funny because I read that today as well. So as I'm talking about all this, everything's kind of coming together. You know, and maybe that's the cue for starting a relationship again with her. You know, I would write her letters when I was young and I lived in England because I grew up there. And I wrote so many people, right? I had all these pen pals. And most of my family, well, all of my family when I was living in England was living in Germany, because my family is the only family that left Germany. I did have a relationship with my aunt, and this is my mother's sister. This was her younger sister. It was just so interesting to read that email, and nice in a way, you know? And it's funny that I happened to read it today. Just take it easy. Take it one day at a time, and I'm telling myself this as much as I am to you. And hopefully this wasn't too hard to hear, right? I'm not going to go through this and edit it, and maybe that's a mistake. I don't know. Because usually I always go through and then judge it, right? I judge it saying, did I say like too much? Did I say too much? Whatever. I wanted to record it. I had an urge to record. And that's what I did. And maybe in some way it helps you just to acknowledge the life of your loved ones who've passed. Death is never an easy thing, you know? Even if the relationship is complicated and even if it wasn't always good. But those people were still there. They were still there for you. At times, if not all the time, and just acknowledge them. I want to thank my mom to the person I am. Like, she raised me. I am my mother's daughter. As much as I never hoped, people always say that I look a lot like her, which I don't know. You know, she was very beautiful, especially when she was younger. You know, and it's kind of scaring me how I'm looking more like her as I'm aging. You know, we never want to look like our mothers, yet I'll always love her. And thank you for letting me share this with you today. Until next time, I will resume normal coverage of my day-to-day and hopefully inspirational moments. Thank you.